Hello and welcome to the Celtic Women's Football Show. I'm your host, Claire Wilde. And if you've not listened before, I'm with my usual co-host, Lorenzo Pacitti. If you have listened, you'll recognise his voice. Hi, Lorenzo.
Hi, Claire. How is everyone who is new to listening?
Are you asking me? Because I don't know.
I'm asking the void of listeners to respond to me.
Write in and let us know how you are.
Yep. Hashtag I'm okay.
How has your week been? The sun's out. Everything seems to be going, I was going to say swimmingly for Celtic, but it's been a bit of a weird week. We haven't spoken for a while. And we just said, right, let's just get straight into this. Let's not do any of the kind of pre-pod recording chat. Let's just go straight in.
Yeah, it's, I mean, from a excitement and nerves point of view for a league ending week, it's crazy. The things that have kind of happened, the way the league's transpired, how the games have gone, you know, all the options up in the air. It's just been insane. So it's ruining my brain while also making me really excited.
I'm going to bring us down to earth a little bit. We're going to run through a few little news things before we start, and we'll just talk then about the season finale, and then we'll talk about the games that have happened this week to get us to where we are. It was awards week, so we had the Celtic Awards and we had the PFA Awards, and our good friend Caitlin Hayes came away with three of those. Very well deserved, I think.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, I think, we don't know if we've spoken on mic, me and you have talked off mic about potential, you know, nominees for Players of the Year and stuff. And I think the last month or two anyway, Caitlin's really dragged herself away from the pack. You know, there's been a few players for us in particular that have had phenomenal seasons, but just the goals Caitlin's come up with in the moments, it's really hard to look past her for any of these awards. So it's really good to see her getting that recognition from, you know, like a wider audience now, even as Celtic fans, because of the games at Celtic Park, a lot more people are aware of Caitlin Hayes. The interviews she's given on, you know, the main Celtic page at the award shows, she's just, you know, where she deserves to be as like a very high profile Celtic player.
Yeah, it's really fantastic to see. And she's such a well-rounded Celtic player, in as much as she's clearly like can do what she does on the football field and get the results that she gets. But when you hear her speaking at these awards and the way she speaks about the club, the way she speaks about her teammates and her coaches and the league and playing football in Scotland, it's just kind of exemplary. And it's, I just, like you said, she's kind of got herself away from the pack, but we've watched her kind of grow into this role over the last sort of 2-3 years. And it feels like this is like the culmination of her really being a leader in this team.
Yeah, it's like a vindication, I think, of all that work. She's had so much good form over the last few years. You know, if you go back a few years, maybe you'd say it was more, you know, she's clearly a really good defender. She's clearly a physical presence, but it's such an improvement in terms of just her overall, you know, footballing ability, or her leadership is probably the main thing, because she's put everything together, all these skills she has, all the attributes she has that put her above a lot of players in this league, particularly those that aren't professional.
Yeah.
And she's really just stands out now, and she looks kind of, we talk about it from corners, how it just seems she's inevitable, you know, she's going to score or she's going to terrify defenders. And when you've got that come from your centre half, you know, it says a lot about the special extra qualities that Caitlin Hayes brings away from being just a, you know, a good footballer, a good defender.
Yeah, she's setting an example for Clara Ridden this week, so that's exciting.
Absolutely.
And also all the kids that you see with the pink pre-wrap at the games. Yep. She's a massive fan favourite, and to the point where I think she now says she has to wear the pink pre-wrap because like it's become her signature look, so she can't abandon
it. Yeah. Anytime, you know, kids getting into football are excited most by a centre half.
Yeah.
You know you're doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really great, and can't wait to sort of see. Well, we've got one more league game and a cup final to go. A couple of other little league bits of news that I just wanted to touch on. We played Hibs at the weekend, and then it was announced Dean Gibson will be leaving Hibs at the end of the season. I personally wasn't like massively surprised by that. He's been there for quite a long time, and he's seen that team through a lot of these changes that we've seen, especially in the last, like we said, 2-3 years, and they haven't had a great season, and it does maybe feel like it's time to kind of freshen things up over there.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because Hibs were, you know, a team that seemed to have been doing it right, you would have said, last summer. And then the kind of squad overhaul, they've had some horrendous luck with injuries this season.
Yeah, really bad.
You know, you feel for any manager that has to deal with that. But yeah, something's not going right at Hibs in terms of they haven't, you want to be seeing a steady improvement with steady investment, and it's kind of gone the other way on the field. Mm-hmm. I think they can put a lot of that down to injuries because it has been really bad. I mean, everyone, it's something, you know, you're seeing a wider scale women's football talked about more, but everyone has been dealing with really high profile, really long term injuries, and squads are really being tested. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, one of the benefits of our squad and why we've done so well this season.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that's hurt him. You know, I'm sure he's done a lot of good work at that club in terms of where they've come from, and the fact that we do think of Hibs as a women's team that does it right and is on the up, and that's why the season's been so strange.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can kind of kick on and bring someone in and start to take some points off people that aren't us.
The other just quick one was that the Aberdeen job, which Emma Hunter left a while ago now, was advertised initially as part-time, I think 20 hours. It's now been advertised as full-time, which is just these little signs that just say clubs are starting to take the women's game more seriously. They're realizing that if they want to get good coaches and good staff, they're going to have to offer a little bit more. Aberdeen are a team that have, you know, they're in the bottom six, and it's just, I don't want to spend too much time on that because we'll probably over the summer talk a lot more about personnel across the league and in the Celtic team. But good to just have these little shoots of optimism, I think.
Yeah, it's something that every time it pops up that makes you optimistic about women's football in Scotland, you've got to celebrate it. And I think something as simple as jobs and players, backroom staff moving from part-time to full-time is the first signs of that. It's something we saw at Celtic. So yeah, all that stuff is really positive.
Yeah, really, really good. Just, we've got a few injuries in our squad as well, talking about the Hibs injuries. So we're going to get on and talk about the season finale in a second, and the fact that that's just been announced today. But we will be going into the game at the weekend without Hannah, who was at the Hibs game with a full leg brace and crutches, holding ice on her knee throughout the game. So not ideal. Natalie Ross with her arm in a sling. So Hannah Kerner and Natalie Ross both very much out, but maybe herald the return of Olivia Chance at the weekend. Who knows? We're going to be able to ask Fran that on Thursday. So swings and roundabouts, eh?
Yeah, I mean, Olivia Chance has the experience and the quality to be somebody that no matter how long she's been out, you could happily see her in the squad. Would she start? I don't know, but you definitely see her in the squad, and that'd be really amazing to see her finish the season with us, and then for the cup final as well coming up. Hannah Kerner injury is a really bad one for me. There are silver linings about it in terms of what we'll talk about in the games, formation changes and kind of impacts like that will make going forward. But Hannah Kerner is so good. She's such a game changer in these big games. She's been somebody that stepped up as well, particularly in second halves. When she got hurt kind of in front of where I was sitting, she kind of immediately, you know, signaled to the bench, no, this is bad. She looked really upset. You know, I don't know if it's been like announced or anything, but if she's avoiding, you know, an ACL, that's kind of the best you can hope for right now because of how many of those injuries there are. Whenever you see a women's football go down with a knee injury, you just fear the worst. So fingers crossed she's okay. And Natalie Ross missing is obviously, we've been such big fans of her this season. To not have her for two huge games like this is really scary, but the team has rallied round and they've done, you know, not to look past Hearts, obviously, because Hearts are going to be so tough. Big end of the season game, the pressure is on. But to have got through, you know, the City game there and to be looking for the cup final and to be doing it without Natalie Ross and without Liv Chance, you know, this is really impressive from the squad and it says a lot about the depth that they've built up.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see kind of what Fran does with the squad that he has available to him at the weekend. And I think just the way that he does like to play and the way that we play and like to use those wide areas and like players that have the speed to get through defences and things, you know, Hannah really perfectly fits that. Lucy Ashworth-Clifford was ideal. It's such a shame that these injuries seem to happen to these players. But again, I think that's probably something that we'll maybe on a couple of touch on in things over the summer when there isn't any football to talk about. So this week this morning, I was literally ready to go out and run my errands and do my things. But I was like, any second now, they're going to say that the game is at Celtic Park. And indeed, eventually, it was announced that it would be at Celtic Park. You'd obviously heard the rumours. Did you think it was going to happen? And were you excited when it did?
It's one of those ways, you know, I feel like I've had my trust tested too much by Celtic, that it was so, like, it seemed like so obvious. And I think I tweeted about it just when it was still rumours, just that if this is possible to do, not doing it would be such a misstep. It'd be such like an obvious wrong move. We're one goal behind Rangers, you know, all things being equal, if Rangers do happen to beat City, you know, that was our first avenue to win the league. But now the goal difference swing with Rangers hammering Hearts and us, you know, dropping that late goal to Hibs, we need to go out and score regularly against Hearts as well, just to make sure. Because Rangers are playing at Ibrox too. You know, they've taken this advantage. Rangers could come out and hammer Glasgow City. It's a very possible thing that could happen. I still think they're a better side than City. They're playing at Ibrox. There's every chance City crumble when that second half hits. So we have to be thinking proper old school SPL, ding dong, goal difference battle on the last day.
Yeah,
it'll be amazing. And the fact that it's at Celtic Park will just make it even more amazing. But it's the best opportunity for Celtic to guarantee, you know, as close to guarantee, put yourself in the best position for a win, because that's all you've seen at Celtic Park, and goals, because you see a lot of goals at Celtic Park.
Yeah. If you've looked at the Cynic Women Twitter feed today, I've done a little sort of spreadsheet of all the numbers of the permutations of how it might work. Obviously, if City win at the weekend, they will win the league because they're already ahead. City and Rangers draw pretty much on goal difference. I think that would mean a win for us for the league. I mean, and then if Rangers win, it absolutely goes down to the wire, and it just depends who scores what on Sunday. And that's assuming we win as well.
The most fun way, the way I'd love to win this league, I mean, I'll take any way, but Rangers going up early, you know, I've seen that difference there, and then Celtic coming out in the second half and blitzing Hearts would be the best way to win this league.
Yeah, we will preview the Hearts game at the end of this. I want to go back in time a little bit first, though, and actually talk about the game at Celtic Park that we've already had. And I just think as well, just on the point of having the game at Celtic Park this weekend and that arrangement kind of coming together, I feel like there must have been some negotiations behind the scenes with the Celtic end and all that going on, because you could, to have such a big occasion as we're going to talk about now, and then to go into another event at Celtic Park that just kind of falls a bit flat would be a massive disappointment, especially when the stakes are so high. So it's great that they've managed to pull that off. But I mean, just talk us through a little bit about your experience on Thursday when you were at the game, because it's obviously quite different from the experiences that we usually have at games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was like going to Celtic Park. I took two guys that have never been to a women's game before. You know, we went to the pub beforehand and walked up to Celtic Park, much like you would for a Celtic game. As soon as we got there, you could feel it buzzing, you know. There was just, we're used to going to games at Airdrie, where even when they're busy, it's more like, oh God, the car park's a bit full. You know, it's not like, wow, this place is buzzing.
We have to queue extra for a cup of tea.
Yeah, but rocking up the park, yeah, well, there's 10,000 people there. You know, it's the exact same. It's not the same, obviously, as like a 60,000 Champions League night, but the difference, particularly because you're heading into one section, one turnstile, blah, 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 you still feel that palpable energy of a huge football game. Mm-hmm. You're at Celtic Park. There's other people around you. You just don't queue quite as much. You know, it's actually nicer. This is why this whole argument of, you know, I was talking to the guys about it before, and they were saying stuff, you know, just out of a bit of naivety, but they were like, you know, would it be better if the women played at a 10,000-seater stadium or something like that? But, you know, Celtic Park is such a good stadium. When we went to the Hibs game and there were 3,000 or whatever it was, we all said it was a great day out. Everyone loved it. You felt that atmosphere. So even with having the Celtic end and the 10,000, the Celtic end in particular, you know, it's putting every kind of loud singing fan in the same section. It was so loud. It was like a Champions League game in terms of just sheer volume. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought the Celtic end in particular is a no-brainer. I appreciate everyone who's got seats there, and that's not up to me to make that decision. But
that's,
I think,
a debate for another day in another podcast, Lorenzo, but it was amazing. We were sat right, we kind of purposefully bought seats right by it so that we could kind of have the option to sit there and kind of experience what it was going to be like, and it really, really didn't disappoint. So I'm kind of interested to hear. Obviously, you were in the north stand, so you were kind of looking over at it, and you could still hear full voice.
Yeah, I chose my seats for two main reasons. Reason number one, great view of the Celtic end. I wanted to kind of experience it as somebody who wouldn't be sitting there. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see what it'd be like. I want to see the atmosphere around it, and it being like a goal end singing section, I think is really exciting. And we saw the benefit of that during the game, which we'll talk about. But there's a reason you put these sections behind goals. And also, I sat in like the DD row, which means I can just step behind me and sit in the leather seats.
You were really pleased with that because you texted me halfway through to let me know that you'd taken over the leather seats.
Yeah, it does make a difference, you know.
Yeah, we, like I said, we were right in the thick of it at the Celtic end, and it was just a phenomenal way to watch a football match. And it was just having, you know, I just watched so many games, you know, starting at K Park was my first experience of watching this Celtic team. And you're just like, there was a bit of my brain that just kind of couldn't process that this was a women's game and this was a Celtic women's game and that this was actually happening and that it sounded like that and it looked like that. And I think it's probably a good point to read we messaged from someone who got in touch with us, and there will have been lots of people like this who kind of had their first, like your friends as well, who had their first experience either, you know, I know a couple of people who that was their first experience of Celtic Park, and I'm taking my mum to Celtic Park this weekend for her first Celtic Park. But Kyle wrote into us and said, "Hi guys, not sure what pod this is best for. Last night, the Thursday, was my first experience of women's football in a stadium, and it was absolutely fantastic, and I can't wait to get back. Yes, the Celtic end was absolutely surreal. However, I hope that doesn't overshadow the performance of the players on the park, as once City scored, Celtic just went up three or four gears and utterly dominated. Natasha Flint was amazing. What a result and what a team." And it's just nice that that gives people not only the opportunity to have that experience, but like the game, which we're just about to talk about, like really delivered. I mean, maybe not the first half, but...
That's all. The only half that matters, second half.
But we had to set ourselves up for the dramatic finish, right? And I think I texted you and said, "I see we're doing this the hard way."
Yeah, I had multiple people contact me, or even I bumped in a few people outside the ground who just said that. I think it was one of the first things I ever said in this podcast about what got me into women's football, or this women's team, is that when you see them run out in the hoops, it is a Celtic team. And that's all your brain sees and all your kind of heart cares about. Is that you're watching Celtic at Celtic Park in a game that means something to the title race.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter even who's on the pitch, to be honest, at that point. I think that's why so many people get involved. And walking out the ground, walking home, you hear so many people buzzing around you and they're all talking about the cup final, all talking about how you get tickets for the cup final, about how good that day was, wonder if they'll put the last game of the season on at Celtic Park. You know, every team, from a Celtic point of view, every team across the UK that commits to its women's team, that puts money into it, it becomes a serious earner, because when you make this football accessible, people watch it. You look at Arsenal, you know, they've gone from a couple thousand, and that's a big club, you know, in London, that when they started kind of focusing on the women's team, there was maybe 1,000 people at the games. Now they're at 60,000 Champions League sellouts. The pathway is there. We're seeing a big jump for it now because Celtic Park has been used for a big, serious game. And it's really, really exciting. I can't wait.
I think it has to be managed carefully, because I think these big games are absolutely fantastic, but like, you can't play a whole, you're not going to get a whole league, especially up here, and it's not even happening in England, with big crowds in big stadiums, and people's expectations need to be managed. The stage and needs to be managed. The way that players deal with being on that big stage needs to be managed, because there's a little bit of me that's worried that when it happens so quickly, that some of that falls by the wayside, and some of the care and attention that like might come from something growing a bit slower. But yeah, absolutely amazing. But the game on Thursday, let's go through the lineup. We did have Pamela in goals. We had Clara Reardon, Caitlin Hayes and Chloe Craig in the back three, which I think we were probably surprised by. We had a midfield of Lisa Robertson, Shen, which was nice to see. Obviously, we've got some challenges with injuries in midfield. We had Hannah out on the wing and Lou, and then we had Amy, Jacinta and Tash Flint. What did you make of the lineup? Dropping Kelly for a start.
I think the lineup makes sense. Apart from, suddenly Kelly Clark's not there, which is rare for a big game. You know, not something I expect to see at Celtic Park. We've talked about, you know, Chloe Craig's relationship with this team as well. She's somebody who understands Celtic Park and the importance of it. So that was maybe the only shock.
Chris gets so mad every time he drops Kelly for the start, especially in big games. It's like, why would you drop your captain? Why would you drop your captain? It's a good question.
It's the centre mid thing. You know, we were kind of left with Shen and Robertson, really, in terms of who you can choose for that position. Uh-huh. And then obviously we lost Robertson now with an injury, so it's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah. It's kind of the season is kind of feels like it is starting to take its toll a bit.
I know they were talking in the Hibs commentary, the Celtic Hibs game the other day on Alba, about the discussions to potentially start making a dent into this fixture backlog that comes at the end of the season. Uh-huh. And it is very exciting, but it's an insane amount of football. It's a ton of games and the injuries are really piling up.
Yeah. We've obviously mentioned, and most people who've engaged with this game at all will know, that it very much was a game of two halves. Just before we kind of dig into a bit of the detail, there's so much to cover today, so we won't go into too much depth, but like, your overall arching impression from that game?
I guess game of two halves, exactly that cliche. Which has been kind of typical of Celtic's bigger wins as well. You know, we do really warm up to a game. I think overarching, without getting too much into the football or the very basic fact that we were poor in the first half, good in the second, is that environment. And there's a reason the Celtic end, and it's behind a goal. There's no coincidence for me, you know, that we won that game with goals at the Celtic end, and that second half kind of rebirth and revival of that team with that crowd is a huge reason we won it and why it's such an advantage. So for me, that was kind of my main takeaway of the game. But I thought we really played some really, really good, really aggressive football in the second half. They really wanted it. And I think they really showed up City as a team that kind of wants this league title.
Yeah. I don't think as other performances go, like if you looked at that performance in isolation, or if you put that performance, that first half performance, in a different ground on a Wednesday night in February or something, if it's like not something where everything is resting on it and there's all these people there, looking back at the game and like watching the highlights back and watching the game back, it wasn't as bad as it felt like it was in the beginning. But I think, I don't know what you think, but it felt nervy. They felt like a team, and I think we've talked about Caitlin Hayes. She was the captain. She always takes the armband when Kelly's not starting. And the fact that she was misplacing passes, you know, there was one at 11 minutes where the ball ends up at the feet of Prisia Chinchia, and you're just like, that is exactly what you cannot let happen. And I don't know if it was getting used to the dimensions of the pitch or what it was, but like, Caitlin's kind of shakiness and nervousness felt maybe almost like a barometer for the rest of the squad and the team. I don't know.
Yeah, I really hated the first half. You know, even watching it back, I just thought when we went to halftime and I went down to get a pie, talking to my pals, I just said, I thought that was absolute. I said more choice language, but I said we were playing poorly, and I was not happy. And it's just like, again, you follow this team so closely, you don't want them to let themselves down. You want to see that if they're going to, you know, not win the league, you want to see them playing their best football that they've cultivated throughout the season and end the season the way they deserve and showcase themselves to all these new fans the way that they deserve and the way their play is deserved.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of frustration for me at the first half that were just, whether it was nerves or slack or whatever, because I didn't think City were playing well at all, really. Mm-hmm. I thought City were there to be shown up, because that environment is not good for an away team to perform under. I thought we were giving them an easy game by hitting self-destruct on a lot of attacks, and
agree.
Things were so static.
Yeah, we did manage to get the ball up and like create some stuff. You know, I thought if I had to pick a highlight or something I did like in the first half, it was Shen, who we haven't seen an awful lot of. I thought she was one of the players that absolutely did turn up in the first half. At about 34 minutes, she had a shot on goal, which did kind of end up going straight into the hands of Lee Gibson. But there was a kind of intent and an energy, and she felt maybe like the player to me in the first half who was going, come on, we need to do something here.
Yeah, and Chen stepping up into that role, you know, we've talked about how she's ferried around positions, how we're almost kind of left with Chen at centre mid. Even with Robertson going down so early, she's the surviving centre mid. There was so much riding on Chen's performance and on her head. And for a player who doesn't start every game and who isn't, you know, like a Caitlin Hayes or a Chloe Craig or whatever, who's vocal and the leader and understands Celtic, you know, from a young age, to have that weight of responsibility on her and to play the way she did and keep us kind of together and keep the ball actually moving was really, really key in the first half to kind of keep us alive.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, they scored their goal at like 20 minutes when you watch the Sky highlights back. You know, the commentator said, oh, perfect time to score. And I'm just like, I mean, obviously hugely disappointing and everyone kind of fell silent in the stadium. I think Chloe Craig was looking frustrated before that goal happened. It felt like she felt like the play wasn't coming through her enough or something. And then when that ball did come through, she just completely failed to pick it up and it went straight to Lauren Davidson, who is statistically the biggest threat in the league if you're looking at goals.
Yeah, you can't give, obviously you can't give MD chances like that, but there are two wide players in Chinchilla and Davison when that kind of three-pronged attack are just so good, you know. And there were a couple of times in the first half we just handed them chances and we were, you know, lucky. Obviously Pam is great and we're lucky that Chinchilla didn't make more of the couple of chances she had. Lauren Davidson does not need an invitation to, you know, shoot from inside the box. And I think Craig's just like really, she's read the pass, you know, she's completely read the pass and then she just steps into it, maybe too eager or whatever. And it's it's unfortunate, and the Pam is unfortunate in goals. She gets her foot out to it, but it's just kind of, it's buried quite nicely. And it felt a little bit, obviously with this Celtic team, you never think, oh, well, this is done. But with the nature of the way the first half was going, it was very flat and it kind of, thankfully it didn't flatten the crowd. Celtic were great getting everyone back up, but yeah, it did feel like a real frustrating blow of like, well, this is what's going to happen if we don't just step up and play here.
Yeah. So we're a goal down at half time, and making that change and bringing Chloe Craig off and putting Kelly Clark on made absolute sense. And kind of, I think, you know, if anyone saw the interview with Fran where he said, you know, I won't say exactly what I said at half time in the dressing room, but it was along the lines of, all these people are here to see you win and you're not putting in a good enough performance.
Yep.
And then to bring your captain back on, you know, real statement of intent of, we are not going to let this slip through our fingers, this is too important. And we just turned on the afterburners and just came at them in the second half, didn't we?
Yeah, really brave subs, I thought, from Fran, particularly after the Lisa injury, to go with Lefersky.
Yeah.
And to kind of start pivoting that formation. And when the second half, I mean, Natasha Flint in a number 10 role, I mean, we talk about her so much, we get frustrated about the fact she comes too deep, blah, blah, blah. The minute she's got a striker in front of her doing that legwork, she looks like an absolute game winner. You know, every time she's touching the ball, because she can turn and there's somebody running, because she doesn't have to be like everything's not a 1-2 suddenly. It's not supposed to be her picking it up, holding it up and then giving it off and finding the next pass. She's got Kit Lefersky running her socks off the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
It really just made her so dangerous. And then you've got centre-halves from Glasgow City queuing in on her further up the park, and the fastest player in the country stretching them the other way.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really, really brave move from Fran to kind of pivot his formation, to take off somebody at half-time, stuff like that. I think he really earned the stripes in that game, and I'll forgive him for not using subs against Rangers.
I'm sure he'll be very happy to hear that. I think the Tash Flynn, we did I recorded the review which came out today with Christian yesterday, and I asked him to have a little look at her. So if anyone's interested in a little bit more Tash Flynn analysis, then it's there. I think his takeaway was it's about her decision-making when she decides to take a shot, and it does depend on who is playing around her and what the system's doing at the time. And if the conditions are favourable, which I think is the thing that maybe has frustrated us a little bit, because we want her to be able to do it even when the conditions aren't quite sweet and set up in the way that maybe they were for her goal at Celtic Park. But to get that goal back and to suddenly be, you know, 1-1 at that stage of the game meant that it literally was all to play for, wasn't it? And then you've got I'm just looking at the... my notes and trying to make sense of it all. There was a tack on our save. I want to talk about that before the goal as well, because if they had gone two up, we would have been potentially in trouble, I think, psychologically.
Yeah, Tahanar is such a great kind of scrambler across goal. She has a real awareness of her posts. She's got real awareness of the size of the goal, which is why sometimes she makes things look really easy, and sometimes she makes these like insane saves that you would never expect, and it's because keepers don't get to them, you know, in this league. I think she's got a real awareness of what she can reach. So, again, Tahanar is a big reason that we were in this coming into the second half, and she's a big reason we're in this title race at all over the last few months.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're going to talk about the Hibs game as well. the Flint goal was just tremendous to watch. Let's talk about the other goals. The Clara Reardon goal from a corner. We're used to Caitlin Hayes doing it, but happily take, 75 minutes, we'll happily take Clara Reardon doing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, those threats are there. Every one of our centre halves is such a threat in the air. You've also got Tash Flint to worry about now. If you're, she's a powerful physical goal scorer. There's all these people to watch, and you can see them queuing in on Caitlin Hayes. There was a couple of corners that went Caitlin Hayes' way. She had four or five people on her, and she actually did quite well with them, but they'd very much made it a point of she's not touching this ball. Mm-hmm. And it means you've suddenly got Claire with a one-on-one against defenders. She can outjump. She's really, really talented in the air. She gets a wee bit lucky with the deflection, obviously taking it fully away from Gibson. But she does really well to get up, and she proved a threat the whole game as well.
Fantastically well. And at that point, I mean, I think the crowd was really like the ante was upped to such a degree, and the noise levels just were going through the roof, and it was just kind of wild. And then we're just like, let's not leave it there. Let's have another one. And it was funny because it was quite late in the day, really, if you think about the entirety of the game. And our good friend Claire had come down because she was like, I need to watch the last 10 minutes with someone. So she'd kind of come down to find us. And I just turned, and I just mentioned that Mariah Lee goal when the first time a Fran team played at Celtic Park during COVID without a crowd. And it was, taking the ball on a long run, kind of just taking it past the keeper. And it wasn't exactly duplicating what Lefersky did, but it was weirdly similar, seeing as I just made that reference.
Similar vibes.
Yeah.
It was great from... Maria was great when she came on, I thought. I really did. For such a young player who's been around the club, to not be overawed by that occasion, she really seemed to enjoy it. She's a player we've talked about. She has a lot of like belief in herself. She makes really creative decisions. She's a player I'd like to see a lot more of. But that, she has her head up before the ball reaches her. And again, it's just, it's good coaching, and it's an awareness of our system. And Fran has put Lefersky on there to run, mm-hmm. and she will not stop. There's not a moment that you don't think Lefersky is going to be on the last defender, that she will press the keeper. So when City are pressing up and pressing high like that, and you win the ball quickly, it's a phenomenal decision for Maria to launch a ball forward for her. She waits it perfectly. It's that kind of tease where it's going to drop, enough outside the box, Gibson's never going to come for it. Mm-hmm. But only Lefersky's going to get there at the same time. She completely outruns the defenders. The touch off like the top of her chest, shoulder, chin, whatever it was, to control a ball that's bouncing up over the height of her. She is only wee. It was such, great play. And again, in that high pressure environment. And she's a player we've talked about, you can see all her attributes. You see how fast she is. You can see that she's got a lot of intelligence. She's quick. She's good with the ball at her feet. But her decision making has been a bit like off, or her final touch or her final finish have been a bit kind of slack. Or maybe just a bit nervy and a bit...
She really reminds me of Clarissa when she first came to us.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to see that goal is the opposite of that. It was phenomenal run, times it perfectly, doesn't jump the gun, touches it brilliantly, and so composed. Even that kind of falling away finish, that's mm-hmm. to get her body around that, she's decided she's directing this past the keeper. Nothing really Gibson could do about it. She sorts it really nicely. Everything about that goal was just pinpoint, and... It might have looked on telly like it was kind of a lump up field, but it's so common of this team when they can get a team kind of breaking on them.
I'm glad, yeah. And I think the ball is worth a mention. The ball from Maria McEnany, and the fact that she is so young. For a player of sort of her level of experience that we've seen in that team, the fact that her delivery from set pieces is so consistent, the fact that she's able to step up on a stage with that much noise and that much pressure and put a ball through like that to a player like Kit Lefersky is just really, really encouraging, isn't it? I'm really excited to see where she goes, and I really like watching her play football. So I'm really pleased for her.
Yeah, I mean, we needed a Tyler Tolland replacement in the sense of a young midfielder who we can kind of hang our hat on, who's really creative, who gives us a lot of excitement, and who can hit set pieces and play long balls and potentially have a shot. I just think she's somebody that, I think even this weekend against Hearts, with the lack of midfielders we have available, she's going to come on. Mm. We're going to need goals. I think her creativity, her willingness to kind of be the guy, you know, the one that does it, is a big deal.
Yeah, and the fact that we've got such fitness levels in that team and we're going to be playing at Celtic Park. Anyway, we're going to leave that because we're going to talk about Hearts just at the end. You mentioned, obviously, 3-1, a huge result. And like it basically, you know, I think I said to a few people after it, because we're so invested in it. Like there was a bit of me that was just like a bit nervous, just like this, we have to pull this off. Like this has to go well. I don't want this to kind of be detrimental to the women's game. Like if we lose and it falls flat, or if it doesn't quite work, or if the Celtic doesn't quite work, I felt really, and the fact that it couldn't really have gone any better was kind of a tremendous thing. Yeah, I was just delighted by that. But I also want to talk, you mentioned that you didn't think City played particularly well. I just want to touch on their performance and their performance in the second half as well.
Yeah, I think they just weren't great, and that's a lot to do with us. I think we let them off the hook a bit in the first half just because I thought they were kind of solid, and, you know, Chinchilla and Davidson were having pretty good games. But then Davidson got quite quiet. And I think if you can quiet Lauren Davidson, you go a long way to kind of stemming any kind of Glasgow City attacks. Second half, I just thought they were there for the taking, and thankfully Celtic really came out and put it to them. I think if we come out and tried to start the second half a bit slower and build our way into the game, might not have gone the same way.
Yeah.
But I think it was just a really, really impressive performance in Celtic in that second half to put the nail in what to me looked like a bit of a flat Glasgow City team. And then, you know, they didn't use any subs really. I think they brought one sub on in Celtic Park, you know, after the world's longest season with three games a week in the last few months. I couldn't believe that. I mean, it's not for us to moan about, but I couldn't believe that.
If Natasha Flint, I think, won the player of the match in the stadium, who would you have picked as your player of the match?
Yes, it's Tash Flint. I think just because it's, you know, big game things, and that's what she's been doing pretty consistently, mm-hmm. aside from maybe one game. I think if you're in that stadium particularly and you're seeing the game for the first time, the team for the first time, Natasha Flint is standing out to you mm-hmm. as the game winner. I thought Jacinta was really, really, really good as well.
I was going to say maybe I'll pick Jacinta so that maybe we just swap, because you always pick her.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of good performances, but I do think the nature of the game, the importance of the goals, particularly that first goal, you know, it was so needed. It's all about Tash Flint, really.
Yeah, so that happened. We got the good result. Everything is still on. The league is still on. We go to play Hibs at Meadowbank at the weekend, which, you know, thoughts beforehand is that this is a game that we should easily be winning. But also, we've mentioned, you have to take into account the fact that we have had these huge games, like the kind of highs and lows, the physicality, the emotional energy, the psychological like impact that all of it will have had on the players. Like, they will be exhausted at this point. I was at that after the game at Celtic Park, because it was on the TV, this game, and I thought, no, I'm going to go. But I've also decided that I absolutely hate watching football at Meadowbank with that big track around it. So I'm not sure how many times that will happen again next season. I mean, we came out of this 2-1 winners, but it was a little bit touch and go, wasn't it? I mean, in terms of overall performance, what are you thinking? I'm kind of doing a funny face.
Yeah, not very good. Not very good. I thought we started really slow, built our way into the first half. And in fact, I'd say the first half was actually okay. I thought we dominated the ball. After we got rid of the kind of nervy start, I thought it was quite a solid first half. And to go in, you know, winning is the important thing. Part of me, you know, was hoping for an early goal and then know, a hammering ensuing, so we don't have to think about goal difference in the last day. But, you know, Hibs, with all their injuries, I thought, kind of solidified themselves pretty well. They got injuries during the game as well. It made them not much of a threat, but Celtic were not taking chances that came. They weren't really creating too much.
Yeah.
It was quite a flat end of season game, but shouldn't really have been, because it's a game that, you know, I think Fram, he's talked about it enough, he would have been impressing that goals are important.
Goal difference is huge at this point. And, you know, the first goal comes at like quarter of an hour from essentially a Siobhan Hunter, Benny Haaland kind of dual mistake that they kind of miscommunicate, don't they? And of Kit Lafersky, as, you know, it's this kind of thing that she does that is kind of Clarissa Larris-esque, and I don't want to always make comparisons, but she's just there to put the ball in the net when she absolutely needs to. And I thought the cross from Lou was fantastic, because she's been a little bit quieter in the last few games.
I'll probably give more credit to Lafersky, just to be nice. I thought that, it was, you know, poor from the keeper and the defender, but it's Kit Lafersky's pace and her reaction to that ball that causes that. You know, I think in
they kind of panic as they see her running.
Yeah. Most other strikers, you know, don't commit to that, give up on it, whatever, can't make anywhere near it, and that just drops in the keeper's hands. Kit is so fast. And the good thing about it is that it lets Lou be creative, because that cut inside and that ball is a ball that nobody has seen. You know, even on the telly, it looked like an insane pass to play, but Kit reacts to it, because it's not a pass that you could kind of give somebody the eyes with that ball. That's sheer reaction from Kit. So, and the finish is actually great. You know, the finish is really calm. It's really smart and controlled. I think that was a really, really good goal.
Yeah. I think at that point as well in the game, you get, in this type of game, it's quarter of an hour and you get one and you're like, here we go, we can do this. We get the second goal at like 35-ish minutes with a free kick that Jacinta takes, and it comes off the head of Clara Reardon again. So expect to see a little bit more of that, please, at the weekend, Claire, if you could pull that off. If we've got two threats in the box that they have to watch, then we could get even more dangerous in set pieces, even though that has been one of our real danger areas this season. So we go in half time 2-0. You just think, right, we need to just come out and do what we need to do in terms of upping that that goal difference. And the other thing was that there was none of the other games were kind of kicking off till later, so there was no telling what was going to happen. And, you know, the fact that Rangers did end up beating Hearts 6-0 was wild. It's like if you wrote the end of this league, like, you couldn't write it, because people would say, no, don't do that, because that's crazy.
Yep. No, but I think you were, you know, we're thinking about the permutations of the last game before this game, and you're like, well, it's all about City dropping points and the goal difference. We've done enough that it might not be an issue. We'll have to think about it. But no, as you say, this title race, they just have to, you know, come right up next to us. And now we're thinking about goal differences, the way we might have to win the league.
Our goal difference has been so far ahead of everyone all through this, since the split, that we've just kind of relaxed a bit about it, and now we're panicking again.
We have to have our regrets now, you know, instead of 4-4 Farmington, our new regret is, why did we only put 5 past Glasgow Women? You know?
I think maybe the 96th minute save from Leah Tweedy's shot on goal by Pam Takonar could potentially be the action of the season.
I mean, it's a great save. It should be a goal. I mean, she really doesn't connect as well as she should. It's a glaring chance. It's that, you know, it's the nature of how much of a glaring chance it is, which is why she doesn't get a clean connection on it. She can't really believe it's fallen to her.
Yeah.
And that's the league. You know, it's as big as that. That's the league right there in that save and in that moment. And again, we talk about this team getting what they deserve. For us to lose the league off the back of 2 slack, kind of daft goals at the very end, like last 2 minutes.
I mean,
minutes.
The fact their goal had come 2 minutes, at the 94th minute their goal came. That last 5 minutes was just a bit, I mean, you were watching it on TV, I was watching it in the stadium, I'm sure it was the same, but like, I just could barely watch. It was awful, awful.
Yeah, and it's more, you know, it's that frustration that this team doesn't deserve that. Don't let yourselves down. I think that's Fran's message kind of as well. There's no, you know, you're in this incredibly exciting, never before seen title race. Don't blow it for nothing. You know, give yourself the best chance you can.
Yeah. We have got another Celtic Park game on Sunday against Hearts, who were beaten, as we mentioned, 6-0 by Rangers at the weekend. I mean, it is tough for these teams to come to these big stadiums and play on these big stages when they are absolutely not used to it. And we, for example, are starting to get some experience in, mm-hmm. you know, get more experience in that. And, you know, we'll play at Hampden again this season, being on those bigger pitches with those bigger crowds and stuff. But, I mean, it literally could go any way. And we basically have to just score lots of goals against them, right?
There's two ways to look at the... So I'm going to assume Celtic win, right? Because we should win. And if we don't beat Hearts at home at Celtic Park, we do not deserve this league and there's no point in talking about it.
Okay. That's over there.
Yes. So for me, when I saw Rangers announced Ibrox as the last game of the season, I thought, fantastic. We need a Rangers result. I love this. Rangers could win us the league. City again are going to have to go play in a big pitch, not used to, in front of a big crowd, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the same way I expect us to beat City at home, Rangers should beat City at home.
Yeah.
But this goal difference thing, as you say, we need to come out and hammer Hearts, because I really think come that 45 minutes where both teams can see, you know, the goal difference situation, Rangers at Ibrox, if they're one or two, maybe say they're two up against City at half time, City's heads are down. They mm-hmm. think the league's gone. Rangers come out and absolutely thump them. I think we're going to have a real shootout on our hands. And it terrifies me, but my God, is it exciting.
It's so exciting. And it could not be better that we're going to be able to play out at Celtic Park. And like these two big states. I mean, it's crazy that this is happening in the SWPL. I am so thrilled by it that I literally barely have the words. But at the moment... because I think it was right at the end of the game that they scored the sixth goal, because you texted me and you said, oh my God, we're level goal difference now. And I was driving or doing some stuff because I was trying to keep up with it, but couldn't kind of keep refreshing. And then when I got home and Chris was like, they scored six, I was like, you're kidding me. So they are on 103 and we are on 102?
Yeah, something like that.
I'd also like to make the point that if it goes to goals four, we are currently two ahead.
Okay. Okay.
So we're on 113 and they're on 111.
So goals four shouldn't matter then? Is that right, in terms of for the last day? Because
if the goal difference... Theoretically, it could end up that we're on the same points and the same goal difference, in which case...
That's not going to change. No. As in, we can't physically fall behind on goals for while drawing on goal difference. Okay. Yes. Okay. Sorry, there's so much.
Yeah. I'll retweet during the week the little spreadsheet that I did as well, just because I needed to do it for my own sanity. And I did put on one of the bits that, like, technically Glasgow City could on goal difference, but that would...
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be fun, actually.
They can't, because if they draw, they can't on goal difference. So that was a bit of a mistake, but whatever. There was too many numbers. It was really tricky. Okay. There's not much else to say about Sunday in terms of, like, we would be sitting here talking about what we think it might be like, and we've done it. Like, let's just have a repeat of last Thursday, shall we?
I think it'd be unbelievable for the first title they win to be won at Celtic Park. If they go out and beat Hearts, I'm pretty sure we're kind of guaranteed Champions League football, which again is an insane achievement we would have taken at the start of the season. So let's go out, beat Hearts, and see just how good the day can be.
And I would thoroughly endorse everyone who is able to get a ticket. Season ticket holders can go and claim their tickets on the website. You do have to get a physical ticket. You can't just use your season ticket. Or you can go and buy tickets on the website now. If you look at all the Celtic channels, like, they're advertising how to go and get them. The Green Brigade are going to be there. The boys, I'm sure, will be there. Everyone's going to be making a lot of noise. There's going to be flags. There's going to be atmosphere. It's going to be unbelievable. It will also be on, I think it's going to be on Celtic TV as well, and on BBC Sport Scotland. Move it to a big channel. Come on.
Well, and it being, you know, you look at the... See, I took a screenshot. I meant to send you the fixture list on the Celtic website, the ticket website, you know, when you see what you can buy tickets for, to see a Celtic home game on the Saturday, Celtic women home game on the Sunday, both at Celtic Park. that's the dream. That's the future, longer term, you know, all the way down the road when this is the kind of stadium that we could play really regular games at.
Yeah.
That is what you want to see. You want to see this, like, well, it's a home weekend at Celtic Park. Yeah. That's the kind of shit you want to see.
Yeah, like you're seeing it now in the WSL with, you know, however many games it is that Arsenal will be playing at the Emirates next season. Just, like, make that commitment to a certain number of games.
What we shouldn't do is what Tottenham are doing, which is the women's game on after the men's game or before.
Yeah, whatever. That looked like an absolute nightmare.
Buy a ticket for a full day of football as if I'm going to sit in a stadium for 6 hours or whatever that is, 7 hours.
Especially when let's not even go there. I feel like there's an awful lot of stuff that we could have covered that we will cover in the future. It's just been a kind of wacky week in the SWPL and there's a lot more to come, but it's always lovely to be able to sit here and comb through some of it with you, Lorenzo Pacitti.
Yep, should be a historic, you know, last day of the season regardless, and I don't think you can wish for it more than where we are as Celtic women right now, you know, with where we've come from, not winning this league yet, winning those cups. This is such an exciting day to be part of, and if this is the day that we win the league, the early history books of Celtic women are ridiculous already, and if it gets, you know, the next chapter is this, it'll be incredible, and it's no more than this team deserves.
I might not be able to cope with it.
I mean, roll on the cup final after that, you
well,
know,
we'll City's
head's absolutely in
come,
the mud.
Cross that bridge when we come to Thank you so much, Lorenzo. He has been Lorenzo Pacitti. I've been Claire Wilde. This has been the Celtic Women's Football Show, and we will see you on Sunday.